fun for me to get to spend a little time with some babies in the nursery. And thankfully, I'm still wearing my shirt, which means none of them threw up on me. So, I will encourage you, if you haven't checked out some of those Sunday school classes, don't feel like it's too late because you missed a couple weeks. We have a variety of classes for you to choose from. Love for you to get involved. It's neat to have sort of the wealth and abundance of teachers that we have at this church and get to offer several things at the same time. Finances, New Testament intro, Living the Psalms, and of course our new welcome class. So if you haven't been here the last couple weeks for Sunday School Hour, I know it means getting up a little earlier, getting the family together, but love to see everyone being a part of that. We're in the middle of this series, What is a Disciple? We're nearing the end, I think. Sitting here asking ourselves, what is a disciple? It may seem like a pretty obvious question because, of course, the term disciple has been used so much in the church, and we're familiar with the term, and we read the word disciple all the time as we're reading the Bible. And yet, we're taking a minute, taking, 6 to 8 to 12 to 14 weeks, however long it ends up being, taking some time to stop and ask ourselves, but what is a disciple? That's why are we doing this series now? Frankly, we've been through a lot of changes, a lot of transitions in the last year, 2 years. And in a way, this is simply a good series to help us in the midst of transition to step back and focus on what God wants us to be doing, making disciples. And we know we can say with complete confidence that God wants us to be making disciples because he told us so. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20 in the Great Commission. And since this is such a key passage, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, in making disciples, we've been in a couple-week endeavor to try to memorize this verse together from the ESV. So I realize this is a real test of memory because you probably didn't say it last week. So we're going to try to remember, recite. If you have a Bible with you, you may want to crack it and look at Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and we'll sort of recite slash read this together. And if you know this in the King James, I'm sorry. You're going to stand out a little bit if you recite it that way. But let's say this together, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." And here it is, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, that great commissioning, that great job that Jesus gave at the end of the book of Matthew, right? This great command to say, here's what you're supposed to be about while you're living on this earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Go and make disciples of all nations. We say, if this is that great command, something so important that this is the last words of Jesus in the book of Matthew, and Matthew sees this as such an important call that Jesus gave to him and to the other disciples, he says, this is how I'm going to end my gospel, with this clear call to go and make disciples. So we say he wants us to be making disciples, and of course that means that we need to be mature disciples ourselves. But to be a disciple, to make a disciple, we got to know what a disciple is. As we discovered several weeks ago, as we thought about it, I think shockingly a lot of us would struggle to really define what a disciple is and what a disciple looks like. And so we decided to do this series and say we want to know what a disciple is because we want to make disciples, because that's what we want to do at Grace. We want to do what God wants us to be doing. We want to be making disciples. So now week by week, we've sort of been building on this definition, answering the question, what is a disciple? And looking at Acts chapter 2 and the beginning of the early church, what did the 12 disciples do when they had this influx of people who believed in Jesus? We looked at them and said, it seems then from this passage, we can come up with a definition that a disciple is, A mature disciple is someone who is devoted to, worship, biblical instruction, fellowship, service, and evangelism. After the last three sermons in this series, we then looked at what it means to be devoted to worship, what it means to be devoted to biblical instruction, what it means to be devoted to fellowship. And so actually, before we move forward to service, as we will talk about today, I want us first to take a minute and reflect on the last month. I want you to take a minute and think about the last month and how you've done in these three areas. Right? To take a minute, and before we move to service, we always want to move forward and to move forward to the next piece, but we have to realize that a mature disciple is someone who is devoted to all five of these areas. And it's not that we can simply move on to service and forget worship, biblical instruction, and fellowship, because they're behind us now. Right? It is a regular practice in the Christian church to take a minute and reflect and think back and say, how have I done in the last month? Have I been devoted to worship? Have I been devoted to prayer and praise of our God? Truly devoted. Has it been an area that I've been thinking about, considering, that I've been focusing on, being devoted to prayer and praise, therefore devoted to worship? How are you doing with biblical instruction? Have you been devoted to biblical instruction over the last 3 weeks? When there are opportunities like Sunday school, women's Bible study, men's Bible study soon to come, right? When there are these opportunities provided, do you go after them? Right? Do you get excited about the fact that there are people here who can teach you more about Scripture? You get excited about coming together and talking about the Bible and about the way that God has told us we're meant to live our lives. Personally, are you seeking out resources to help in your own personal life and being devoted to Scripture and devoted to biblical instruction? How have you done over the last 2 weeks in fellowship? Right? Think about the last 2 weeks. Have you had a good conversation with somebody in the body of Christ? Just one, even. Have you spent some time with some other believers? Remember, fellowship is about spending time together. Have you met somebody's physical needs? And have you had a spiritual focus in any of these relationships? I want us to remember that just because we're moving forward doesn't mean we're leaving these other things behind, right? We're truly building, and if you're missing the block of being devoted to worship, then you're not a mature disciple. That what a mature disciple is devoted to all five, being devoted to worship, biblical instruction, fellowship, service, and evangelism. How are you doing? You recognize your need for others in the body? Have you been going deep in relationships? You've been spending time praying and praising the Lord? I hope so. And if you've been struggling over this past month, don't beat yourself up, right? This is the beauty of grace. It's the beauty of God's grace to us that says, I know you're going to fail. The cross is still going to be there for you. I know you're going to fail. My love will still be everlasting. That said, we want to be mature disciples. We want to be making mature disciples. Why? Because of our love for God, because of His love for us. So this morning we come to the fourth sort of characteristic of what it means to be a mature disciple, that a mature disciple is someone who is devoted to service. Someone who is devoted to service. So we're going to ask sort of the same questions we've been asking every week. First, what is service? Second, why is it that a disciple, a mature disciple, must be devoted to service? And then third, how can we be devoted to service? Question number one, what do we mean by service? What do we mean by service? It's kind of a funny question to ask on one hand, because service is one of those things where when you see somebody serving, you just kind of know it, right? You just get it. You don't think, oh, that fulfills this definition of what it means to serve, therefore that is service. Service is one of those things where when you just see someone serving, you just know it. And yet, I'm trying with each of these words to still come up with sort of a dictionary definition just to help ourselves think about what are we talking about with service. So looking through a couple books, the funny thing is if you pull up a dictionary and you look up a definition of service, you get like a page-long definition. Why? Because there are so many different uses of the verb or the noun service in English. Right? You've got like the military service. You've got like somebody coming out and doing a service thing on your house. Right? There's a lot of different ways that serve and service are defined, and therefore a lot of different lexical meanings of it. When we're talking about service in Christian service, I think we can simply define it as this. Simply define it as any act for the benefit of another. That service really is any act for the benefit of another. Or something that contributes to the welfare of others, right? An act, you can't just think and have your thought be service. It has to be an act, an action. But any action that is for the welfare, the benefit, that is for the good of others. Perhaps this is sort of what Paul has in mind in Philippians 2:4 when he says, look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Right? That looking to, acting for the interests of others is what we mean by service. Question number two, sort of where do we see service in Acts 2? Because that's the other thing we've been doing. We've been continually going to Acts chapter 2 and saying, where do we see this characteristic in the early church? In Acts 2, verse 44 and 45, we see sort of, instead of the continual acts of service we may expect, what we see is one major act of service. Now what the early church did is they had this grand gesture, this major act of service that was for the benefit of others. Acts 2, 44 and 45, right, talks about how, and all who believed they were together and had all things in common, and now we get this great act of service for the benefit of others, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. That here in this great selfless act of service, what we have is we have the early church selling their things in order to benefit the people around them. And in case you think this is a one-time thing, flip the page to Acts chapter 4. And in Acts 4, verses 32 to 37, we see the early church continuing the same practice. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own. Right? Nobody said, mine, mine, mine. But they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as any had need. Here you have this great act of service that continues through the early church where they say, I am willing to give up the things that are my own for the benefit of others. This wonderful, selfless act of service. And another page over in Acts chapter 6, we actually see people chosen for this special act of service in a way. What we have in chapter 6 at the beginning is this passage that we sort of now associate with the practice of deacons, that you have the daily distribution of food that was happening. In verse 1 it says, now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, so they're gathering and there's more and more of them, a complaint by the Hellenists, right, the Greeks, the Gentiles, arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. So here you had again this regular act of service where they're giving to the needy, and some are being overlooked. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples, and they said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Right? We need to keep doing our preaching and teaching and evangelism. So they say we need to find some people willing to serve. And so they find and choose 7 people designated for this act of service, to sort of oversee service. Passage that we often now look at and say, this is maybe the beginning of the idea of deacons. Right, that the elders in a church are supposed to be those who are teaching and the spiritual leaders, and the deacons are those who are just willing to serve. and lead in serving. We say you see this act of service throughout the early church in this grand gesture of giving up their own possessions, houses, selling things for the good of others. But also you see it early as people are given this specific task, this role of sort of leading the service. But what do we mean by service? Any act to the benefit of another, and we see it over and over again in the early church. Question number two, why must a mature disciple, why must a disciple be devoted to service? Biblically, why is it that if you're going to be a mature disciple, if you're going to be a mature follower of Christ, why must it be that you are devoted to service? Come up with more, but I'll give you four reasons. Reason number one, why must a disciple be devoted to service? Reason number one, because it's simply following Christ's example. Reason number one, when you are a servant, you're following Christ's example. Consider Philippians 2, 6 and 7. We have this amazing sort of hymn towards Christ by Paul, and he's talking about Jesus, and he says, begin in verse 5, Philippians 2, verse 5, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, or he was in the very form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but what instead, what did he do? Though in the form of God, he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. That when Paul reflects on Jesus Christ, the one who was in the very form of God, he says, what did he do? He came down and became a servant. Consider Mark 10, 45, one of the most key passages. It's sort of the turning point in the book of Mark, that whoever would be first among you must be servant of all. Why? Because even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Mark tells us that even Jesus himself did not come to this earth so that we could serve him, but so he could serve others. Consider that great act in the book of John where we see Jesus washing the disciples' feet, literally doing the job that a first century servant was supposed to do. So when you say, why must a disciple be devoted to service? First and foremost, because you're simply following Christ's example. You're emulating Christ when you serve. Christ, who though in the form of God became a servant, was here not to be served but to serve and showed us how to serve as he washed the disciples' feet. So first, you're following Christ's example when you serve, but second, it's simply because Jesus, when he was here, told us of the importance of service. Not only did Jesus, while he was here, serve and do service, but he also talked quite a bit about the importance of being a servant. So we have passages like Mark 9:35, where if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. Or Matthew 23:11, the greatest among you, the greatest among you shall be your servant. In Luke 22, Jesus sort of talks about how this attitude of service and being a servant is different than the world's idea. He says, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. Those in authority over them are called benefactors, but not so with you. Right? Don't be like the Gentiles. Don't be like others who lord your importance over others. It says, not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest and the leader as one who serves. The leader as one who serves. So Jesus acted as a servant when he was here, but he talked about how important it was to be a servant. The greatest among you must be the servant of all. Don't be like the kings lording it over. Instead, the leaders should be the servers. This is where the idea of being a servant leader comes from. Right? The one who is a leader should be the one who serves. Why must a disciple be a servant of all? Because you're following Jesus' example, because Jesus then spoke about and told us of the importance. Third, because service is emphasized as one of the two great spiritual gifts. Service is sort of emphasized as one of the two great spiritual gifts. Now, we have passages on spiritual gifts in several different places, some in the book of Corinthians, some in Romans. But if we actually turn to 1 Peter 4, turn with me to 1 Peter 4. In 1 Peter, he actually gives us a slightly different list of spiritual gifts. Remember in Paul's lists, he usually lists out several different gifts, right? There are some who are apostles, others teachers, right? Some who have gifts of healing, others of encouragement, others of service. And for Paul, service usually appears on the list of spiritual gifts. Peter breaks out the spiritual gifts a little bit differently. In 1 Peter 4, verse 10 and 11. 1 Peter 4, he's talking to the body of Christ, and he says, as each has received a gift, notice, use it to serve one another. Hint here, right? Our spiritual gifts are meant for serving one another in the body of Christ. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. And here in verse 11, he breaks them into two broad categories. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So Peter says, as he looks at it, use your gifts to serve one another. And what are the gifts like? Well, Peter breaks it down as gifts of speaking and gifts of serving. And you have these two great categories for Peter of spiritual gifts. And one of them, the entire category, is just gifts of serving. And all of these gifts of encouragement, right? We have all these gifts that fit into this category of service, is those gifts that are for the benefit of one another. And a mature disciple is someone who's going to be exercising their gifts, of course. And within these gifts, we have gifts that are meant to be service gifts that we serve one another. Why is it that a disciple of Christ must be devoted to service? First, because you're following Christ's example, the suffering servant, the one who came not to be served but to serve. Second, because Jesus told us, if you're going to be great, you must be the servant. Third, right, because service is emphasized as one of the two great gifts. And fourth, I'm putting it like this, because devotion to service, being devoted to service, really fulfills the second half of the great commandment. Right, the first half being, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second being, to love your neighbor as yourself. And loving your neighbor as yourself in service, any act that is to the benefit of one another, right, seem to go hand in hand. Paul sort of makes this connection for us in Galatians 5. He says, you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Through love, serve one another. So what are we talking about with service? Any action, right? You must be devoted to service, devoted to actions that are for the benefit of somebody else. Why? You're following Jesus. Jesus told us it's important. It's one of the two great spiritual gifts. And finally, because serving is how we are to love one another. And that is why, if you're going to be a mature disciple, you must be devoted to service. Now we move to the question of how. How is it, as disciples, that we are to be devoted to service? What does it actually look like for a disciple to be devoted to service? I think once again, as we approach the question of how, we need first and foremost to consider the term that comes before the service, which is devoted. And when we need to be devoted to service, we need to remind ourselves what it means to be devoted to something. When we think about being devoted, about devotion to something, it takes time, energy, thought that that it is a constant thing, that when you say someone is devoted to their craft, right, someone is devoted to their artwork, they're thinking, working on it all the time, when they're devoted, right, as athletes, and they're devoted to their sports, it's about taking care of their bodies, it's about working out, it's about spending time on the field or on the court, right, it's about continually working, thinking, striving towards becoming better in that area. So we need to think about being devoted to service. Then we can surely say this, that a mature disciple is not someone who's just occasionally acting like a servant. Someone who acts like a servant every once in a while, you know, when they're feeling like it and not quite too tired. Then I'll serve. But I just had such a long day, and it's a lot easier to sit here on the couch rather than serve. Being devoted to service can't simply mean an occasional act here and there. Notice, second, it's not that just some disciples are servants. Well, that person's just really gifted in service. You know, they've just really got a heart for service, but me, not so much. You know, I prefer just to be served. I'm just giving them opportunities to serve. Everybody needs an opportunity to serve, so here I am. Let me give you my menu for this evening's meal. All right. It's not simply that some of us must be devoted to service, but this is, if you're going to be a mature disciple, every mature disciple must be devoted to service. These can't be occasional acts, because that's really not what devotion means, is it? So in order to be a mature disciple, you must be devoted to service. So how is your service? How are you doing personally in service? Serving a church once a month devoted to service? Loading the dishwasher once a week, living a life devoted to service? You say, but it's so hard. How in the world can I possibly, right, be a full-time worker, right? How can I have a job 40, 50, 60 hours a week and still be a servant? I can't be both. Well, you're right, you can't be both. You're supposed to just be a servant in your workplace. Right? Well, how can I be a good, responsible parent and still be a servant? Well, you're serving your kids. I think it's working pretty well. I'm guessing that the moms among us, especially right now, probably know what it means to be devoted to service. But that's a full-time job, being devoted to your child. You say, what does it mean to be devoted to service? Well, it means being a servant in every area of your life. It's not like Jesus had his ministry and then he had his servanthood. It's not like, oh, well, Jesus did his ministry stuff and then on the side he served. Of course not, right? These are meant to be. It's being a servant is meant to be the way that you live your life and everything you do. So question number one is, how can you serve? Well, you should serve within the workplace. When you think about the way that you interact with your colleagues, with your fellow workers, with your boss, are you willing to be the servant in the office? Are you willing to be the servant in the office? When other people think about you in the office place, how do they think of you? Do they think, oh man, that Bob, he is a servant. Isn't that neat to have a coworker who's a servant like that? Right? Oh, Janet, right? She serves all day while she's at work. I ask her to do something, she just hops up and does it and something else. And you say, but wait. I mean, if I'm a servant in the workplace, don't you realize that's going to make me look a little weak? Right? If I'm the one who's always cleaning the microwave, right? Suddenly everyone's going to assume and expect that I am the microwave cleaner and I've been demoted to janitor service. Right? Don't you realize what it'll look like if I'm always the one serving? You don't get to the top, right? You don't show power and strength and you know, a get-to-it type of attitude if you're the one taking time out to empty somebody's trash, bring somebody coffee. Is that really the attitude you think Jesus took? Yeah, but we look at this person who was God. I mean, here we have God himself, God incarnate, that the second person of the Trinity comes to earth, is there anybody who deserved to be served more than him? That there has never been anyone on this planet more important than Jesus, and yet here he is on his knees washing people's feet. What would it look like for you to be a servant in the workplace this week? Are you willing to be that servant? Are you too afraid that it will somehow lower your status or show weakness or something? Serve in the workplace. Second, how can you be a servant? Well, I think we all know there's plenty of opportunities for you to serve at home. What would it mean to be a servant at home? Say, but you don't get it. I'm so tired when I get home, right? Just let me collapse on the couch for a few hours. Well, is Jesus collapsing on couches? He's still up. if he had a couch at the end of some of his days, he might have. Right? Yes, Jesus took some time to retire, to step away and pray some, but think about the days that he had, teaching and walking and crowds following him. Everybody desiring his time was ever like, oh, please just give me a moment alone. And here we see Jesus always looking for the next person to serve, the next person to heal, the next person whose life he can touch. And how neat is it, right? How neat would it be for you to be known as the servant in your home? I think often about that passage in Romans, I believe, where they're trying to outdo one another in love. Now, what is it like to outdo one another in service? Right? When you know, I totally know that my wife is going to get up and try to clean the dishes, but what would it mean if I snuck in there first and started them before she realized it? I'm trying to outdo one another in service. I got home and I know there's 5-10 minutes before my husband's getting home. What if I just pushed and just vacuumed the whole house as fast as I could and then pretended like nothing had happened? What is it like to be in the home and to be a servant? Right? What would it be like, high schoolers and younger, right? What would it be like to willingly serve even when your parents don't ask you to do something? To be devoted to service. Be devoted to service in the workplace. Be devoted to service in the home. In the third place, I'll point out, because this is part of the church's job, is what can you do about serving the church? Being devoted to service surely means serving here at church. Consider the commands to serve one another in the list of spiritual gifts. Right, that as 1 Peter 4 says, right, use your gifts to serve one another. Who's he talking to? He's talking to a body of believers. What would it look like for you to serve at church, being devoted to service at church? And I will say this is part of the church's job is honestly to give you opportunities to serve, to show you areas where you can serve, and to encourage you to serve one another. Because we are the body of believers, we've been commanded to serve one another, and the church gives you opportunities. And let's be honest, we've got a lot of opportunities here for you. We've got places that need filling. In fact, we have so many opportunities to serve that I would say that you could probably find an opportunity to serve in an area that you already like and enjoy that fits you as a person and your gifting and passions and what you're good at. Right? You like kids? We got plenty of opportunities to serve with kids. We've got an ever-increasing nursery back there that could use some additional volunteers. And how wonderful it is for us to be able to serve the parents in our congregation. Needing to be able to serve them and both serve them in loving their kids. Right? It's fun to be back there and to see Kate and Titus really starting to work together and do a puzzle together. Right? To be able to see them growing and sharing with each other and working together. But being able to serve those parents and give them the opportunity, right, to step away from their kids for an hour and spend some time in Sunday school. It's new. We have some nurseries, and we have a great rotation in the nursery going on during service. But with these expanded Sunday school programs, we've said, look, we want to be able to provide nursery for the Sunday school hour, too. We're going to need extra helpers. We'd rather not have to make people sit back there for like 2.5 to 3 hours straight, but give them the opportunity to serve and then to be in Sunday school or to be in Sunday school or service. Look, you love babies? Sign up. Contact Brooke. She'll always take more volunteers. Babies aren't your thing, but kids still are. We have Kingdom Kids, and right, we have Children's Sunday School during the 9 o'clock hour. We need teachers. How fun is it to be able to build into kids' lives, to see as they learn and grow and just have fun with them? Kids aren't your thing, right? Well, that's fine. We've got so many other opportunities. You know, music and tech. Right? I love seeing that we have more people back there helping with tech. We have people stepping forward and helping with music. You don't do that. You don't do people at all. What you do is you work with a hammer. All right. We constantly are having special projects and building things. We've got areas for you to serve in facilities, right? Talk to Tyler. You want to mow the grass? Great. We can put you on as an alternate or a regular. But we've got opportunities for you to serve. Find a way to get plugged in and serving here. And I'll bring this up. There is a role within the church of diakonos that simply means servant. Diakonos, which of course is, in the English, deacon. Deacons are those people who just say, you know what, I love service. I am all about service. And 6 months ago, it's crazy to think that it was just 6 months ago, but 6 months ago we had, here at Grace, our first deacons meeting. And the deacon board is that board who says, we are all about service. Right? People who say, I have the spiritual gift of service, or I am really passionate about these different areas. We've got four areas that our deacons serve in, that of care. Deacons of care are those who are taking meals to people. Right? We've got the prayer blankets, the secret grandma stuff that's going on. We have deacons of care. We've got deacons of hospitality, who also happen right now to be our deacons of events. Right, but there are supposed to be two areas here. People who are just friendly people who say, I want Grace to just be more and more welcoming. And are thinking about hospitality and what goes on Sunday mornings. And then those people who say, I want to help put events together. Right? Opportunities for us to get together in fellowship and spend time together. Have a good time together and to serve people in this community. And then fourth, we've got our deacon of facilities. Those who say, hey, I'm handy. I like to serve. I'd love to just be in charge of helping come up with schedules for mowing and cleaning. And when we've got a gray board that needs to go up, figuring that out as they're doing right now. But I'll say, initially our goal was to have 8 deacons, 2 in each of these categories. We knew it was maybe slightly unrealistic, but we went for it. And we have 5. And I want to point them out to you. And I'm going to make them stand because I think they're all here. Right? Tyler's our deacon of facilities. Where is Karen and Sandy Barnes? Karen's in the nursery, serving. What a surprise, right? Our servants serving. Sandy, deacon of care, along with Karen, who's back there. And Jenna and Sherry are our deacons of hospitality events. First of all, can we thank them real fast? They don't get a lot of thanks. Okay, you can sit down. I know you don't like sitting up. But hey, if you're interested, we'd like to get to our goal of 8 deacons. And if you say, I am passionate about serving and one of those areas interests me, and you were maybe a little bit hesitant 7 months ago when you're like, they're starting something new. Yeah, I don't want to be the guinea pig. Well, now you have these 5 people who can sort of give you a feel for what it's been like. If you'd give them a pat on the back and say thanks, and if you're interested in being a deacon, talk to them. Because this is an important role in the church, those people who say, I'm just all about serving. Maybe that's part of what it means in being devoted to service for you. How can you be devoted to service, right? Be devoted to service in the workplace. Be devoted to service in the home. Be devoted to service here in the church, serving the body of Christ. And what does it really mean to be devoted? Serving once a month, is that devotion? Maybe it is for you at this point in your life with what you have going on that you say, you know what? Once a month is truly all I can handle right now. And that's what it means for me to be devoted to service right now. I will serve in the other areas of my life. Right? But find ways, right? Look at what you're doing and figure out ways with the areas that you're already spending time, the places where you're already involved with other people, and say, how can I be a greater servant in this area? Why? Because a mature disciple is someone who is devoted to service. Right? That's following Jesus' example, and Jesus told us the greatest are those actually who are servants. That's one of the great two spiritual gifts, speaking gifts and serving gifts. And because it's really what it means to love one another. Love one another through service. And continue to build and mature as a disciple, because a mature disciple is someone who's devoted to worship, biblical instruction, fellowship, service, and evangelism. So how can you serve this week? How can you take steps to be a greater servant, to be someone who can truly be said, that person is devoted to service in every area of their lives? Let's pray. Father God, we desire to be mature disciples, and we desire to make disciples. Not because we are some great people who are so altruistic, but simply because you have loved us, and in response, we love you. And out of our love for you, we want to be doing what you want us to be doing. And you told us you want us to make disciples, people who are following after you. So Lord, as we continue to think about what it means in our own lives to be a disciple, God, grant us grace. Help us to give ourselves grace when we fail, to recognize that to fail is simply to be human. But Lord, that we want to strive to be mature disciples because we are so in love with you and what you did in giving your Son to us. So God, this week, pray that you will give us opportunities to serve. Holy Spirit, when we see these opportunities to serve, encourage and push us towards them. Help us to have the courage to take these opportunities to serve others. Do not worry about how it may look, that it may look weak, or that we may get stuck doing this all the time, Lord, but that we'll serve out of the joy that we have of being saved, of knowing you, of being loved, out of a desire to be a more mature disciple. Lord, strengthen us. Give us opportunities to serve. Help us take them so that we can come back next week and feel as if we have been servants all week long. It is in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. Go ahead and stand, worship band. Come lead us in one final song.